Hello and welcome to another edition of Chesapeake Hockey Week. I am your host, Scotty Waz. How are you doing? This is going to be a very interesting show. We've got some sweeps a happening. We have some sweeps a happening. We got some CBHL playoffs, some MSHL playoffs, and the playoffs. But we'll get started with the Maryland Black Bears, and man, it does not has not getting that much better as the Black Bears drop both games this weekend in New Jersey and slip into a 10-game losing skid, tying for most in franchise record. They are currently also at a 6-game home losing streak, which is one away from the franchise record as well. Let's just get started with Friday's game against the Titans. 5-2, the final in that one. New Jersey gets on the board midway through the first period. Jake Swade gets his 8th of the year. And then 4 minutes later, Anthony Calafiore gets his 9th of the year. And the Black Bears down 2-0 after one. Trying to get off at a quick hop, and they do that in a big way as the forecheck for the Maryland Black Bears does wonders. As a great forecheck by Josh Nixon gets it down to Garrett Sidlowski. Sidlowski with a wraparound bounces off the pads of Mr. Christian Stover right to Connor Cole for his 6th of the year, 36 seconds in. And Maryland was buzzing. They were going hard in the paint, but right before the halfway point of the period, 9:07, Jack Carlson gets his 2nd of the year, and they get into the locker room down 3-1. Early in the third, Zach Nazarek gets his 7th for the Titans, makes it 4-1. 4 minutes later, after that, 4:06 to be exact, Blake Humphrey with his 6th of the year, as he gets a goal, makes it 5-1. Black Bears get one back, trying to strike and trying to get some momentum going into Saturday on the power play, no less, which they've had quite a lot of difficulties here in this skid. Hunter McCoy gets his 11th of the year, breaking a little drought there. So he pots one in off of Josh Nixon's shot from the side, kicked right to McCoy's stick, puts it into the yawning cage, 5-2 there. Connor Cole's secondary assist, his 12th of the season as well, but time was not on the Black Bears' side, and it all ran out. It was a shooting gallery out there on Friday night. New Jersey out shooting Maryland 45-43. Maryland, they had their chances, especially late. 21 shots in the third. Michael Morelli stops 40 in the losing effort in this one. On the Saturday, it was one of those games where it was such a tightly contested contest that every mistake was going to be picked apart. And you had to rely on your goaltending or a miss. And, you know, Maryland just gets caught a couple times. Nick Setz just breaks in on a turnover. Breaks in. Jack Ring finds him. 8:24 into the first. And there we go. 1-0 Titans. Maryland keeps striking. Maryland gets going. Maryland starts. They get their chances. The Black Bears had their chances. It was not for a lack of chances. Christian Stover was coming off a Player of the Week honors. He gets another Player of the Week honors this week for the East Division. He's been quite the pickup for the New Jersey Titans this season. It's a situation where now Black Bears back against the wall. They're playing a little bit tighter hockey. A turnover, bad turnover, right behind, right next to Hans Colleen. Pass gets picked off. Connor Peck picks it up. Goes cutting across. Beats Colleen. It's 2-0. The social media said it was Garrett Sidlowski. I believe Alex Utano said it was Brian Huggins. Either way, not a great passing option, but can't really fault them that much in the long run. One of those deals where you have the puck carrier behind their own net trying to look for an outlet pass. There was no one. There was one person as an outlet right next to him for a pass, but trying to do an outlet pass. There was no one in a breakout position. The pass was trying to go off the boards, bank, and then into the neutral zone, and was just miscalculated. It was one of those deals where there's no support with for the puck carrier to come back. Next thing you know, there's a turnover and leads to bad things. 2-0 was the final in that one. Third period, Black Bears again tried to strike hard. Looked like they were going to break through. Could not break through. Stover, credit where credit is due, was fantastic in this one. Colleen, 33 saves. Another shooting gallery. Both teams over 35 shots on goal. And that's where it's at. That's where we're at right now with the Black Bears. They are still in fourth. They have 5 points up on the Junior Hattricks, 2 points up on the Northeast Generals. The Junior Hattricks have 10 games in hand, whereas the Black Bears have 4 games in hand on Northeast. And the damning thing is 0 in their last 10. Not a great sign, and it's not going to get any easier as they go into Johnstown to take on the Tomahawks this weekend. So if there was a time to really, pick up your britches and get going, pack a lunchbox, get a lunch pail, get that blue-collar work on, this is the weekend to do it. Johnstown's a tough place to play. Trying to think in recent memory, I don't think the Black Bears have ever won in Johnstown. I'm sure I'm wrong on that, but I don't think they've ever won a game in Johnstown unless they won one in the inaugural season. Yeah, I'm sure I'm wrong on that, actually. My memory's not that great. But at the same time, it's a tough place to play, and the Black Bears are going to be in tough on this one. They have to figure out what to do, take it step by step, game by game, minute by minute, and just go out there and not let things overly frustrate them. It's not a great time, obviously. So now it's a time for a gut check and go on from there, because we only have, 17 games left. So now's the time. You have to get things going, and we will see what transpires here for the Maryland Black Bears going into next week. On the flip side, Team Maryland are actually in the playoffs. It is in the playoff. The playoffs are happening, and it's a weird format for the Mid-Atlantic Conference or division, the first 1 and 2 seeds get byes, and then 3 takes on 6, 5, 4 takes on 5, and the winner of those matchups gets reseeded and take on after that. So the Team Maryland took on the Connecticut Rough Riders, who they met earlier last week, and got swept by them in those two games on Sunday and Monday? Saturday and Sunday? Either way, it was not a good time. But Team Maryland dug deep. They dug deep in a big, big way and swept Connecticut in two games on Wednesday and Thursday. We'll start off with Wednesday. Things got off to a little bit of a shaky start with Connor Sullivan's power play goal for Connecticut, putting them up 1-0. But Team Maryland started to strike, and they struck quick. Struck fast, no mercy on this one. First goal from Kyle Peters right off the draw. Picks the puck right off the draw, throws it up. Kyle Peters from Denny Arkhipenko and Bobby Guyer ties it at 1. We go to 1:07 later. Patrick Nowak on an even strength breakaway, had a takeaway, was streaking down the ring, and boom, puts it in 2-1. 1:02 after that, on the power play, Denny Arkhipenko set one up on the top of the circle, went low blocker, and it is 3-1 quickly for Team Maryland. They took a little bit of a breather, but at the end of the first period, 1:56 remaining, Bobby Guyer gets himself on the power play. Puck working around the perimeter, good work in front, traffic in front as well. And Bobby Guyer gets a power play goal with Haylen Cookston and Rory Gresham on the assist. Cookston and Gresham also had assist on Denny Arkhipenko's power play goal. So a big boost there for them. Things weren't over yet. 1:41 into the second period, Arkhipenko with his second of the game. He pickpocketed at the side of the net. Gets a little backhand in, and that's all she wrote. 5-1. Connecticut would score one more. Lucas Baxay with an even strength goal, but it was not enough. 5-2 for game one in this one. Oliver Quinn, 37 saves in the winning effort. So with the chance to close it out the next day, what does Team Maryland do? Not only did they close it out, they didn't close it out emphatically. 6-0, putting 56 shots on net. Team Maryland going ham in this one. We'll go to the first goal, 5:04, and Connor Ball, turnover. Created a turnover at the blue line. A shot from Evan Donnelly off the backboard. Comes out to Connor Ball. He puts it in. Vince Maurice with the secondary assist on that one. 12:29 into it. Eric Strozzi with the with an even strength goal, making it 2-0. A scramble in front of the net. The goalie was out of position. Strozzi just picked it up and threw it in. William Walsh and Ethan Fuller on the assist on that one. 16:07, a power play goal. Bobby Geyer gets a rebound off a deflection in front, found the open side, and he puts it home, making it 3-0. Arkhipenko and Cookston on the assist with that one. Second period, a little bit back and forth, but Maryland still continued to go for the pace, making things happen, dictating the play as they saw fit. Then 14:44 in, Vince Maurice gets on the scorecard. Turnover in front, gets a rebound. Held it. Wait till he finds his mark, puts it in, and it's 4-0. Connor Ball, Cookston on the assist on that one. Then a shot to penalty at 16:39. Patrick Nowak on a penalty shot. Wrister off the glove and in, 5-0. And that's how it ended in the second. Third period, Kyle Peters gets on the power play party as he puts one home after a backdoor rebound shot. Open net. There it is. Bobby Geyer, Brian Teske with the assist. That is all she wrote. Oliver Quinn, 28 save shutout in a big, big win for Team Maryland, who, like I said, towards last week, the past couple games, they went 0-4, I think, last week, which is not ideal, obviously. You don't want to see that. But the ability to go ahead and bounce back from that, great work. Now the task ahead is because they have the New Jersey 87s, who have just been kind of running roughshod over the Mid-Atlantic Division. They will play on Tuesday and on Thursday, and if necessary, again on Friday, all in New Jersey as the higher seeds there. So they win a playoff series, first off, jump that hurdle. Awesome. First in the EHL history for this team. Big, big congrats on that. They've beat the 87s before, so it's not as if that they are unable to do so. At the same time, though, the 87s are, you can't deny their talent. They went 32-3-3, had a plus 104 goal differential. But, I mean, everyone is aimed to lose. Like, anybody can lose on any given day. And Team Maryland, a very pesky team. You got to figure that this is a team now that has the momentum, that has the ability, that has that mindset that they can win. And now we can see what they can do. We will see how they go against New Jersey. And next week we will find out if they're in the South Division. I don't know why I called it the Mid-Atlantic Division. The South Division. We'll see if they're in the South Division final or if it's fait accompli. And we'll talk about a review the week after. But hopefully, we are talking about them going to the South Final and getting to the final Frozen Four or whatever the playoff format is for the EHL. So we will have to check that out next time through. The Stephenson University men were off this weekend due to some scheduling conflicts with Manhattanville. They will play Manhattanville on Wednesday, however, and it'll be at Aston, Pennsylvania, because Manhattanville has their restrictions, but they are able to play in Aston, PA. So that game will be on Wednesday, and then Stephenson will have a home-and-home with Newman starting in Reisterstown, which doesn't make sense to me, on Friday, and then Saturday up to Aston again. You would think that they would stay there, but I'm not a scheduler. I can't do this. Last week, of course, UCHC decides to put things out super, super late, which is why we're at where we're at right now. But Ryan Patrick garnered Player of the Week honors last week, 3 goals and an assist for him on the big weekend for Stevenson's men's team. So daps and head taps to him. And hopefully they can continue this grind moving forward against Manhattanville and Newman as well. As far as the women's team are concerned, wow. Like, it is almost a shame there is no national championship this year for the Division III. Because the ladies of Stevenson have found their flow. And it was a big, big weekend for them as they sweep Lebanon Valley this weekend. Friday night, especially, it was quite the show. Stevenson goes up 7-1 on this one. We start off with Hannah Labby late into the first period, with a wonderful, just little quick wrister from the slot. Nikki Kendrick and Angelica Saluzzo on the assist on that one. Then less than a minute later, hell, even 15 seconds later, Trent Barkless picks one up in the defensive zone and causes a turnover and a takeaway, pickpocket, backhand, goal ski, 2-0 going into the break. Lebanon Valley gets one from Peyton Nagy at 5:01 in, and then Stevenson, within a span of less than 7 minutes, pots 4 more goals. Trent Barkless again off the rebound from a Carly Aguirre shot. They put up a 3-1 score. Hannah Labby on the assist on that one. 3 minutes after that, Barkless completes the hat trick. Back door in the slot area, found a nice little tasty dish from Aguirre. And then, boom, 5-1. 4-1 there. 4-1 there. Labby with another assist on the secondary side of that. Then shorthanded. 3 minutes and 20 seconds later, we have ourselves a shorthanded goal from Nikki Kendrick. Picked off and in transition. Got a rebound off a blocked shot in front. And that makes it 5-1. Paige Sullivan and Elizabeth Goudreau on the assist on that one. Then to rank it all out, to get it all going, a minute 18 left, Frankie Capello with a nice little pickup off the bench after a penalty kill. She was the person coming off the bench for the penalty on the line change. Picks up a nice play pass from Ashlyn Bray, and then boom, top shelf. First NCAA goal for Capello in that one. Bray and Tifiara on the assist. The third period, 7:04, and Aguirre gets in on the scoring action as she kept it at the blue line. Nice little pickpocket there. Drove to the net, and then boom, 7-1. Barkless and Bray on the assist on that one. That is all she wrote on that one. Big, big win. And also a big performance from Ainsley King in her first NCAA performance. She got the win, 15 saves as well on that one. Then they travel up 83, get to Hershey, Pennsylvania and the Hershey Park Arena. And Stevenson wins 3-2 in this one in overtime. Wasn't any VOD that I found, so I just have to read off the scoring here. Nikki Kendrick gets things going with a 450 in. Casey Storick with the assist on that. Lebanon Valley gets one with 8 seconds remaining in the period. Victoria Skurdo gets that one and ties it up just before the period break. Lebanon Valley strikes on the power play in the second for the only scoring as Aurora Spencer pots one there. But in the third period, it was late. It was only, 2:21 left? And then who else but Trin Barkless? She gets herself another goal all alone, unassisted. And you know what? It was so nice, she did it twice. Overtime, shorthanded, 2:46 into the OT just after halfway. Bing, bang, boom, a shorty, and she gets it done. Stevenson gets it done, and there we are. No surprise that Trim Barkless gets Offensive Player of the Week honors in the MAC Conference in the women's hockey, because why wouldn't she? 5 goals and an assist over the weekend. An overtime winner. Why the heck not? So daps and head taps to Trim Barkless on that one. I'm sure she'll get UCHC honors as well. We won't know about that till next week because for some reason Tuesday is the day they put things out. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. That seems odd. You would think Monday would be the beginning of the week. Ainsley King, another solid showing. 10 saves. Not a lot of work against her, but 10 saves gets her second victory of the weekend. And man, Stevenson running roughshod right now. They are feeling it right now. 5-1. The goal differential is quite fantastic. 22 goals for, racking up a 3.67 goals against. Our goals for, goals per game. That's a high goals per game. So I mentioned that it was 22 goals for, 11 against. So plus 11 on that factor there. So huge, huge weekend as they'll go to Alverna for a home and home this weekend. So we will see how this goes on Friday at Alverna and then back home in Reisterstown. 4 o'clock start Friday and 4:30 start on Saturday. Both one of the games is on Alverna's website, and then Saturday's game will be on Stevenson's website for that. So check out GoMustangSports.com. You can find the links in the women's hockey schedule there. CBHL playoffs had weekend number two fait accompli, and that closes out their season overall. But big weekend for some Maryland teams out there in the championship of the UA side of things. First off, Hagerstown, 6-5 victory over Hereford, taking the 10U LA playoff championship. Awesome work by that team there. Hagerstown's been pretty solid, especially their 10U team has been very solid all throughout the year, winning a couple tourneys, and they come through in the championship on that one. Bowie, they get a 3-0 victory in the 10U Wales playoff championship as well. 3-0 over Potomac. Raise the banners on that one. Hagerstown's 12U team lost in the championship to Reston in the 12U UA part of things, while Navy's 12U LA, they lost 9-1 to Ashburn. Howard's 12U Wales tournament lost 1-0 to Reston on Sunday as well. Southern Maryland loses in a shootout, a heartbreaker in the 14U UA playoffs, 1-0 to Reston. That's a heartbreaker there. A highly contested match on that one. Howard, 14U LA team, they lose 9-3 to Ashburn. Then Bowie's 14U Wales squad, they lose 4-3 to Reston in the championship game there. But getting to the championship game, pretty solid at least. I mean, you can't deny that. The 12U National, Montgomery Blue loses to Ashburn in the championship there. However, some solace, Tri-Cities, 14U AA playoff champions, they won in a shootout 2-1 as Tri-City beats Ashburn in that. Montgomery, 4-2 victors in the 16U National Division, the AA. They take home the crown there, and they are off the Nationals on that one, while the Caps Academy beat Montgomery in the 16 UA playoff championship. Frederick lost in overtime 2-1 to Ashburn in the 16U LA championship. In the 18U Nationals, Montgomery drops to Ashburn 5-0 in that one there. And then Howard defeats Navy in an all-Maryland final in the 18U UA Blue championship divisions there. I think I mentioned the Howard one last week, but hey, what can you do? Well, then we'll mention it again, because why not? So shout out to all those. Also, the did I mention Tri-Cities girls, 12U beating Howard 6-2. Oh yes, this were last week, so I could have done that. I could have looked where the date's off. Whatever. I don't do research for this one, folks. You know that. So there's the CBHL championships. Congratulations to all those teams involved. And to all the Maryland teams out there, they get a big boost on that one. So shout out there. Off to the MSHL playoffs and upset specials all throughout the quarterfinal as the top four seeds fall in the quarterfinal. The top seed now in the semis is the fifth seed, Bethesda Chevy Chase. My goodness gracious, you can't write a script like that. We'll start off with the 8-1 game. Thomas Wooten. Wooten takes on Oakdale. Oakdale has been dominant all season long, but Wooten gets off to a quick start with 3 goals in the first. Jonathan Barrow, Abraham Prusmamand, I'm butchering these, I apologize, and Daniel Tomaszewski get goals for Wooten. Oakdale gets one from Gavin Peduzzi. 3-1 after that. Oakdale tries to close the gap as A.J. Eunice with an even strength goal, but Brett Strauss, 3 minutes after that, gets one on the power play to make it 4-2. A.J. Eunice gets one back for Oakdale in the second, only 19 seconds after Strauss's goal, 4-3, but things are held to that, and that's all she wrote as Julian Pesch with 34 saves in the winning effort for Wooten, and they advance to the semifinals. Moving on to the next one, Bethesda Chevy Chase and Glen Elk. 2-1 final in that one in the 4-5 matchup. as Glen Elg as the 5 seed gets moving. First period, Bethesda Chevy Chase gets on the board, 6:40 in. David Van Eidersen with the goal, 1-0 there. No scoring in the second, but Tommy Tracy for Glen Elg gets them on the board, ties the game, but it was short-lived as under a minute later. Van Eidersen again, 2 goals, and that is all she wrote on that one as Bethesda Chevy Chase, Sam Levy with 35 saves in the winning effort. Huge effort for them, and they will move on to take on Wooten in the semifinal on Wednesday. In the other semifinal, it'll be Washington County, who took out number 3 Marriott's Ridge by a score of 7-4 in this one. Washington gets off to 2 quick goals in the first. Graydon Joyce and Randall Planash both get it up to nothing. Then Marriott's Ridge gets back. Casey Jones and the Turtles gets one going, 2-1 as they go into break. Marriott's Ridge 2:13 in. Break Rosenthal on the power play ties it up, but then Washington County took over in a big, big way. 4 unanswered goals to end out the second. Tyler Bjorkley with an even strength goal. Graydon Joyce scored 6 seconds after Bjorkley. Then Bjorkley a second goal, and then Randall Planash with a goal there. I apologize, gentlemen, if you're listening to this, and if you're not, I understand. Casey Jones then gets one back for Marriott's Ridge, making it 6-3. Jackson Choi gets one again, 6-4, cutting the lead there, but Jacob Lorenz with a shorthanded empty netter, 7-4 was the final. Bryce Zolli-Lucy with 28 saves for Washington County as they move on to the semifinal, and they'll take on Richard Montgomery, who defeated the number 2 seed Quinn Orchard 5-1 as the final on that one. Zach Bolson gets things going for Montgomery, even strength, 1-0, the only scoring in the first, and then Luke Gutman in the second period, the only scoring there for Montgomery, even strength. Montgomery strikes again 4 minutes in, Gutman his second of the game, and then Jack Karakashian with it makes it 4-0 for Montgomery. Quinn Orchard tries to get back, Tyler Eister with an even strength goal, but Bolson gets his second of the game to close it out, 5-1, final in that. Henry Darko, 26 saves for Montgomery as the semifinals are set for Wednesday night. And then the final will be on Friday at the Patrick Rink at Laurel Ice Rink. So you got Wooten against Bethesda Chevy Chase in the semi, one semi at 5 o'clock. Washington County, Richard Montgomery in the one at 7 o'clock. And then 7 o'clock finale there for the boys' championship. My goodness, if you can get out, I think restrictions are in place. So, follow the MSHL at HockeyMSHL on Twitter, and they will give you all the updates there. So, shout out to those teams. Good luck into the semis and the finals, as hopefully I will be butchering less names next week in this venture. Let's get to some players. And suffice to say, this is a Lacey Eden fan podcast right now, because she is doing work. Put a little story up on clutchandcrabhockey.com. You can check that out about her adventure going from Princeton and then not having a season, then staying at home, not even going to Princeton University, not even stepping foot on campus, and then her just fantastic year so far at Wisconsin. A game-winning goal on Saturday in the 5-3 victory over Minnesota for Wisconsin. And then in overtime, game-winning goal in OT against Ohio State to take home the WCHA title. 2 assists as well, so she factored into all 3 goals for Wisconsin as they took home the WCHA championship. Also seeded number 2 overall in the 8-team women's national championship tournament. Veronica Petty and the Northeastern Huskies are the number 1 seed overall. So we could be on a crash course for 2 Marylanders getting into the final of the national championship. So that's something very interesting to look forward to. Should be a fun event there. Patrick Giles getting ready for the tournament as well. He had a goal on Saturday against Maine as BC swept Maine this past weekend. Will Margell with the Johnstown Tomahawks, 2 goals and an assist, getting second star of the week for the Bauer Divisional Stars as he gets 3 points in the weekend against Danbury. Aaron Randazzo, he gets a win against Youngstown .930 save percentage, only two goals against in that one. Then Andrew Takis, the Dunkirk native, with Amarillo, who had news this week that they'll be moving to North Iowa, as Takis with a solid performance on Friday, 30 saves and one goal against, and a little hiccup on Sunday with four goals against in 11 saves. So that was not such a great one. So you balance it out, take the good, you take the bad, take them both, and there you have the playoffs. So that's it. That's all. We have done it once again, ladies and gentlemen. And we will be talking next week about the Black Bears. Hopefully they can get back on the winning side of the sheet. Talk about Team Maryland and their playoff expectations and what happened there. Stevenson University, both sides are playing on that. And we will have updates on the MSHL playoffs. So that's it. That's all. Thank you for joining me. I'm Scotty Waz. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been the Chesapeake Hockey Week on the Face Off Hockey Show Media Faction, powered by any kind of podcatcher you get. You can find us out on the website, clutchandcrabhockey.com, or Facebook and Twitter at Chesapeake HW Pod, both of those on that. You guys have a wonderful week. Play that Clutch and Crab Hockey, and I'll talk to you next time through. Peace.